Season 2, episode 41, and I'm Audrey.
And I'm Corla.
What's going on, baby doll? How are you? What's happening?
Worst way to start. I'm not doing so good. I've actually got some good news lately that I don't know how to talk about on the pod. But
it's good.
But, like, brain-wise, my brain has just been caught in the Pacific Northwest wildfire fucking spiral.
Yeah, that's hard.
It's so hard. Yeah, it turns out your mental health is affected by your environment. And when your environment is toxic gas full of ash.
Not as good.
Not so good. Not a fun. Yeah.
It's hard.
But I have been keeping distracted a lot.
Yeah.
Been playing Vintage Story with some friends. Been playing old school RuneScape, trying to get Lilith into that.
We finished Undertale.
And now, fuck my turn. You have to tell us how you feel about Undertale.
I am enchanted by that thing. And, like, it's one of those ones where you're like, you hear about it and everyone's all excited about it. And you're like, oh, well, you know, it's gotta be. What's up with this? Why is everybody so fuck? Why does everyone love that skeleton so much?
It got popular before I found it, so I don't care anymore.
Right.
I've been that. Don't worry. I get it.
Well, yeah, it's an easy impulse to have. But then sometimes things are genuinely very good behind that.
Yeah.
And I was completely enchanted. There are a few things in this world that if I just hear the music from them, I break into tears.
Mm-hmm.
Undertale is one of them.
She does. I'm
dyed in the world, baby. It's so sad.
I'm so glad that like 10 years out, almost 11 years out, I still get to introduce people to it.
Yeah.
Like fucking 10 years ago, I was having these same emotions.
Yeah.
Except experiencing some of it differently than you on account of at the time being basically friendless and optionless and just very heavily isolated.
Identifying more with Alphys.
Yeah, I still do. Are you kidding me? It's no self-confidence because of like shit that you did that sucks and that you gotta come out about eventually, but which is ruining your life while you spiral around it. Yeah.
Tough shit. I see myself perhaps a bit narcissistically as an Undine figure fighting valiantly against the entropy of the world and trying to be a hero of the people, you know?
Yeah, I guess leader of the Royal Knights is kind of like being a manager.
Yeah, I mean, you got people under you, looking up to you, looking for stuff to do.
Wanting you to teach them how to make spaghetti.
That's right.
That's right. You gotta make spaghetti out on the fucking shop floor.
How else will
you get the customers in without the delicious wafting aroma of a bolognese?
I do love the way Undine is like, I cannot let Papyrus fight. He cannot fight.
He'll get torn to smiling little pieces.
Yeah, poor guy.
Yeah, he's just all too fucking precious.
And she cares about him too much. Aww.
You didn't even see in our playthrough, but if you lose his boss fight, he's the one boss who doesn't give you a game over. He just puts you in a very easily escaped shack, and then you try the fight again. Because he can't bear to actually hand you over. He can't. You're his friend. He cares too much already.
That's what gets me about that whole fucking thing, is how much people care about each other.
Yeah. Oh my god, what a fucking game.
It's incredible.
It's one of the games of all time.
It is definitely one of the games of all time.
And we use the music here, and the context of it has gradually shifted.
Yeah.
Come back into focus, because when I picked it, that was very much intentional.
Well, yeah,
it's two fucking gay nerds dating in a very silly way.
Yeah.
So Undertale. That's what Undertale is. The king will turn my hedge into the shape of my smile.
And then he does.
He does.
Aw. Fucking.
No, I'm going to cry.
It was really funny because Worst of All Possible Worlds, a friend of our show, had their 250th episode and they decided to do Undertale for their 250th. And I heard multiple people spoke to me on DMs and were like, it was really weird hearing the data transfer music in the middle of Worst of All Possible Worlds.
Yep, saying that in the Discord, saying that in our Discord, saying that in our DMs. It's really funny. Like, oh, we've established a brand. Hooray!
Yeah.
Thank you, cool? Toby, for letting us ride your little doggy tail.
Thank you,
like
for Toby.
Flea.
Thank you, Tobin's Fox.
Oh, man.
But yeah, it's been a wild couple of weeks, media-wise. Doing a lot of work lately. Having a lot of guest spots. I've guested on Self-Worst today.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about mental health. Talking about getting back to zero. Talking about figuring out how to like combat anhedonia.
Yeah, big one. Because fucking tell me once you figure it out.
Well, this is what we got to, and this is so true. Everything that we do in a daily basis is a short-term dopamine hit factory.
Yep.
You're looking at your phone, you're playing video games, you're getting takeout, you fuck all this shit is just little dopamine slams, right? What you have to do is that all just becomes noise, and then you can't experience the dopamine slams because it's all just dopamine slams. So you have to get back to zero. You have to like meditate or some shit is what we came up with.
You gotta take a long tepid bath and just float
like genuinely, like I do. I take cold baths sometimes when it's crazy hot out.
I mean, yeah,
and it's good.
That wasn't a joke. I'm just too fat.
That's real.
My tub too small to actually float. I just kind of gotta lay there.
Yeah, I just lay there in the water. It goes around me, and then then there's like a startlingly small amount of it in the tub when I get out.
For being so depressed, I'm very musical, this intro. But speaking of, how are you?
You know, I've been better in past, and I'll be better in the future. I think I talked about last time I got a new therapist.
Yep.
Maybe. I got a new therapist. That's pretty cool. And I got a new medication. That I figured out I'm taking too much of.
A nudication. Oh, no. That's right. You were talking about this yesterday. Like, oh, I was supposed to take half this for a while. Oopsies. Right.
Well, what it was is I was given 1.5 milligram tabs of this.
Yeah.
And it was like, take one a day for 2 weeks and then take two a day for the following 2 weeks. And then when you pick it up next time, it will be 3 milligram tabs, which you will take one a day of.
Yep.
And I kept taking two because I was taking two. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I get it.
And I did that for like 3 days and I went, oh, shit.
I'm going to have to start the proper routine just a little bit later.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that like builds up for a long time in your system. I'm just a little upsetty spaghetti that like I'm going to have to miss a couple days at the end because they probably won't refill it before I run out.
Or you could just take one a day for like 3 days longer than or like the same amount of time you would have just. You know what I mean? Like a
well, this is 3
Hanna-Barbera scrolling background sort of deal.
But these are 1 milligram. These are 3 milligram single tabs now, and so instead
of
taking
have a pill cutter,
they're the little caps that have like the little balls in them. So I can't pill cut.
Stupid.
Yeah,
I mean I get why they have to do that with some materials, but also like come on.
Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know why any of that stuff happens.
I think
gel caps, who fucking knows?
This is going to sound fucking insane. One of my favorite pastimes is taking expired pills that are no good anyway and just chopping them up. Just chop them into little pieces. Not to use.
Okay.
It's just like a stem, you know what I mean? Like you're messing with shaping clay, but it's
pill chopper, kneecap popper.
You cut them into little pizza slices and you throw them away once you're done with the one.
That's crazy.
Well, they're already so expired. Cool. What are you going to do?
What kind of medications are you chopping up?
Like fucking old antidepressants and stuff.
Cool. Make sure they're getting the water supply.
They go into trash. I'm not throwing them down the drain or nothing.
They go in the groundwater.
You sprinkle them on the plants.
Yeah, exactly.
You make sure that your sunflowers are a little less depressed. Just because they look like the sun doesn't mean that they're cheery. Everyone has a struggle that you can't see.
They could be flowers.
Your flowers.
They're flowies.
Oh man.
Fucking Asriel makes me so sad. I see the little sprite of the little boy Asriel, and it's like, wah!
Yeah, fucking. He just wanted to be normal again. He just wanted to see his friend again.
Yeah,
his
come on.
Terrible, evil friend who suicided on purpose to, like, kill other people.
Chara. Goddamn Chara. I love that game.
Fucking yikes.
What a game. And what a show we have for you this week talking about Digimon. Are you ready to get into some episodes? Synapsis?
Am I? We gotta lambast an old pedophile. We gotta go hard on this bitch.
We do.
Man, sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. You said he was cool when you first saw him, too.
He was at first. His introduction was very cool, and then he gets creepy really fast.
Really fast. But first, we gotta go down under, because Joe and Cody, or Iori, rather, arrive in Australia. They find a control spire not too far from the shore, and they and their partners attempt to bring it down. Santa Claus
in Australia
arrives wearing a swimsuit and helps them out. And then after successfully bringing down the control spire, they greet each other with a Merry Christmas, and Santa Claus reveals himself to be Jedi's Australian counterpart. Oh, apparently in the English, his name was Hogan.
That's amazing.
I love that. What was it in the Japanese? Yukari or some shit?
Something.
Something like that.
I didn't pay enough attention. I was too busy looking at him being like, why is Cut Waldo here? Because once he's just down to the swimsuit, he's just Where's Waldo without the glasses.
He's just Where's Waldo.
Waldo. Or Wally if you're from the UK.
Wally. Where's Wally?
Where's Wally? Beals narrates a Where's Waldo book.
Oh man, I've done this joke before, but it's so good. The fucking audiobook version of Where's Waldo.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was picturing, but it's the Beatles.
But it's the British version. It's the Beatles. A man wearing a bowler hat. A hump zebra crossing. A double decker bus. Waldo. Oh fuck, there he is! There he is! He's right there!
Paul, you're not supposed to interrupt the audio. Sorry, John.
Sorry, John. A policeman's box. Fuck. So Hogan, we're going with Hogan. Hogan tells them that the Australian Digidestin are gathering the Digimon at the Great Barrier Reef, where another control spire is located. Then off in the distance, they hear a child screaming, saying in English, help me, help me,
help me, I just have a little crab in my boat.
All I have is a little crab on my windsail. They hear a call for help, and they see a boy with crab on a surfboard. That's not a surfboard, that's a fucking wakeboard, or whatever the fuck it's called, where you get the sail.
Sailboard, whatever you call it.
Board with sail.
Let's find out. Hello, my baby. Hello, my honey. Hello, my ragtime guy.
You're gonna lose your mind. It's called a sailboard.
It's called a sailboard. I fucking killed it. I'm the smartest bitch alive.
It's called a fucking sailboard. So he's on a sailboard. He's got his crabmon. He's being chased by a Gessomon, a Shellmon, and Ibidramon.
Yeah, so he's being chased by shrimp, squid. I forget the other one.
Well, yeah, Gessomon's a shrimp. Or no, Gessomon's a squid.
Ibidramon's a shrimp.
And Shellmon's like a
turtle.
Like a mollusk.
Oh yeah, he's some kind of oyster.
Maybe like an oyster or something, yeah.
Hermit crab.
The boy makes it ashore and introduces himself as Derek. In order to fend off the other
whelk.
Three.
He's a whelk.
He is a whelk. No, that's true. That is exactly what he is. Do we eat whelk?
I don't think I've ever eaten whelk.
I've never eaten whelk. No, that sounds bad.
I think it's like primarily a Japanese thing.
Is whelk eaten?
Is whelk eaten? Do 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 do.
Yes, whelks are widely eaten and considered a delicacy in many parts of the world, including Europe, Asia, and parts of North America. The large marine sea snails are packed with lean protein and feature a firm texture and a mild or clam or scallop-like flavor. I'm in.
Yeah, dog, it's a fucking shell food. What did you think it was going to taste like?
Some of them are gooey and gross, like fucking sea urchin is hard.
Snot.
Sea urchins are really tough to eat.
Sea urchins are bad. Gooey ducks are... You just slurp them. It's just snot in the shell. It's awful.
I have eaten sea urchin, though, before. I've eaten sea urchin.
Okay.
It's like, it comes to you as a little jelly on top of a little rice puck.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. It's hard.
I've seen in shows. It does not look hard, fun.
Hard to consume. So he introduces himself as Derek. In order to fend off the other three hostile Digimon.
Terrible, terrible English.
Yeah, like, I can't repeat it.
Like American, like an attempt at American English, despite it being an Australian character, which is the funniest part to me.
He's not like, my name's Derek.
Chosen child.
I'm a chosen child.
Bleeding champion.
Child is so child. Good. I love child. In order to fend off the other three hostile Digimon, Joe and Iori have Armadillomon and Akakamon threatened to turn the three Digimon into Digimon seafood, which starts like
it's like a long running gag too.
It shows the three, the Gessamon, Ibidramon, and Shellmon in various seafood dishes, including a seafood pilaf, a seafood curry. And what was the other one?
The first one, I was trying to remember as well.
I don't know.
Either which way, they're like visualizing it happening to them and progressively having a further panic attack. They're going to actually eat us.
You're going to make me a curry. That sucks.
I'm in the real world. We die for real out here.
Yeah, for real. With one more threat from Crabmon, the three flee.
Is adorable, can I just say. Really fantastic design for that Digimon. Love a little crab. His
move is Execution Claw or some shit like that.
Scissor
like,
execution.
That's so metal for a rookie.
It's fucking metal. He just snips your fucking head off your body.
Yeah! Yeah!
Like, he's the fucking scissorman from Clock Tower.
Derek.
Do you ever play Clock Tower?
No.
You haven't played...
I haven't played Clock Tower, no.
Oh my god, that's wild to think about. It's a SNES horror game, like a point-and-click adventure.
Do I have Clock Tower on my SNES emulator?
You might.
Let's go fucking find out right now. Go to my ROMs.
It's some very influential work, is what I'm going to say. Like, it set the bar, it along with like the PC original Alone in the Dark.
Yeah,
really kind of set the tone for adventure game horror going forward for a long time.
Allegedly, I have Clay Fighter, Claymates, Cliffhanger, Clue, and then College Slam. I do not have Clock Tower.
No Clock Tower. I mean, we're not really horror people, to be fair.
No. How did we get on this? How did we get on Clock Tower? How did that happen?
Scissorman.
Okay.
Anyway, the Scissorman.
I don't know what that is.
I'll show you. He's a little fucking. You know the Flea Man from Castlevania?
Maybe.
The little jumpy motherfucker enemy.
Okay.
Okay. Go on. Jesus fucking Christ! Play a video game. Fuck me. Get my references.
Derek, Cody, Hogan.
Fuck you.
Iori can follow them on a boat. They chase the three Digimon all the way to the Great Barrier Reef. They spot the control spire and stop their chase. They attempt to destroy it, but it's called a Scorpiomon in the English dub, but it's Anomalocaramon,
which is so much cooler.
So cool, because it's fully just an it's an Anomalocaris Digimon.
Yeah, and they're like, American kids are too stupid to know what that is. It's a scorpion now.
Terror Shrimp.
Oh yeah, Ibidramon was new, I think.
No, Ibidramon was not new. Ibidramon was somebody that we fought. But give me the clams.
Yeah, Metal Seedramon. It's fucking
yeah.
Okay, yeah, I remember.
It was his second in that episode. So they chase Mother Bear to a barrier roof, but then there's Anomalo Caramon. Joe has Ikakamon evolve into Zudomon. Cody has Armadamon. Armor digivolve into Submarimon. And Derek has Crabmon digivolve into Seelamon.
Metalfish.
Together they defeat Anomalo Caramon and destroy the control spire, all without damaging the reef. They manage to damage the reef a little bit, but then they're like, no, we can't do this. She's reading.
Yeah, I was realizing that I hadn't looked up Scorpiomon porn. Just fucking go with it.
Okay, fair enough. Gessamon, Shellmon, and Abidramon are heard screaming while being chased by the Australian Digidestin, who have arrived with their partner Digimon and all the Digimon they rounded up. The Australian Digidestin meet up with Joe, Iori, Derek, and Hogan.
They're on a boat. Iori,
they're on a boat, motherfucker, don't you ever forget.
And then they've got so many little Digipartners. Yeah, one of them has a Divermon, which is wild to think about after season one, where they were like the fucking military of the fucking masters.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a lot like seeing a Digidestin with a Gazimon partner, which I don't see as a as an impossibility. I think having a Gazimon partner would be very cool.
Not to spoil nothing, but Beat Break does have a variant of Agumon who's just a fucking Vietnam veteran.
What the fuck?
Yeah, uh-huh. No, for real. He's like... Look up Commandramon.
It's Commandramon. So fucking fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking up Commandramon. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I've seen him. Yeah.
He's just fucking fit to go to Iraq is what he's fucking
Agumon, but he's in his he's almost got like, it's almost like a World War II helmet too.
Mm-hmm. And he's there's a little bit of a anachronism to the whole design,
and he's got splitter camo skin.
It canonically, he can go invisible because of it.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah,
that's
imagine so cool. An invisible Digimon with a gun.
Yeah, good luck, motherfucker, you're dead, you're gonna die. But Iori sends all the Digimon back to the digital world. Yay.
They go through the gate. They go... They fucking wreck the Great Barrier Reef while they're fighting, too.
No, they specifically don't. Like, they're about to.
They do some real damage to it.
They're about to do a lot of damage to it.
Stomping through it, and fucking Anomalo Caramon blasts it a little bit.
Meanwhile, in Paris, France, Ty and TK meet up with TK's grandfather, Michael. Michelle. I think.
Oh, it would be Michelle
in French.
This is the pervert. This is the
Michelle's motorcycle with a sidecar. And Corla was so about this guy, which I was too. I can't.
He comes in on a motorcycle. He's like, let's fucking go, kids.
Bienvenue, buddy.
And you're like, holy shit. Way to go, dude. You're so cool. And they come across Versailles and they are surprised to see that the lights are on and the gates open.
The palace. Yeah.
That's not what you expect. Although the gates are Ty and open. The gates are open. Although Ty and TK are hesitant to enter, calling it trespassing, Michael insists that they're doing the right thing by investigating. Inside, they see Mamemon ball. A big Mamemon, big ball. And a metal Mamemon ball bearing. Having a party. The three Digimon call themselves the Mamemon Brothers. This outrages Michael. After closer inspection, they find a female Digidestin and her partner Digimon, a Floramon, being held prisoner by the Digimon.
She's like a little princess-looking bitch.
This is where things get creepy. Her name is Catherine. She looks like a stereotypical little French girl, right?
Yeah.
And the boys, Ty and TK, are both like, holy shit, she's a cutie pie. And then Michael, TK's grandfather, goes, oh, what a hottie.
Yeah, it's just mademoiselle. And I'm like, no, don't do it.
Don't do it.
Not funny. Not a funny joke.
No, I can't do it. But she's being held prisoner by the...
They're not even doing anything to her. They're just eating and drinking.
Yeah, they're hanging out and they're boozing it up, actually, which I don't think we probably got in the dub.
Yeah, she's just tied up, like, trying to... Because she was trying to take out the tower.
Yeah.
But, like, They're just partying. They're just having a bunch of French wine and cheese and shit.
What would I do if I was in Paris? Exactly what these motherfuckers
I would also doing. Break into the Palace of Versailles.
I would break into Versailles all their wine. And eat all their wine and drink all their cheese.
Yum, 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 yum. Make a fucking raclette. Just melt that cheese over a fire and then fucking scrape it over your sandwich.
This further angles.
Yeah. Angles. This Michael. Further marks.
This further marks as Ty and TK as they develop a crush on the Digidestin, while Agumon and Patamon develop a crush on the Digidestin's partner, Digimon.
It is a bit weird, because she still looks, like, significantly younger than them.
Yeah. I like to think part of that is art style.
It's probably art style. They drew her like a fucking porcelain doll, because she's French.
French. Michael confronts the three Digimon and attempts to rescue the captive Digidestin. The Digidestin is impressed with Michael's chivalry. It says, don't write that. However, Michael has a pie thrown in his face. Then Ty and TK try to help, but also have pies thrown in their faces.
He tries to grant it like, hey, fuck you, get out of here. And they're like, pie. Dumbass.
Bitch. Dumbass bitch, get pie.
Three Digimon, one of which is ultimate level. What did you expect?
Agumon and Patamon digivolve to their champion levels and battle the three Mamemon outside the Versailles Palace, causing a part of the wall to be destroyed in the process.
I remember when Angemon was like busted even against an ultimate level.
Yeah.
I remember when Angemon was like a thing that you pull out and then you die. Because it was too strong to maintain. Like, it's rough seeing how the power scare the power creep has taken over even like the canon.
Power's getting flattened for them.
I mean, I get it. It's because they want to do as many Digivolutions as they can, because they gotta remind you, so you buy the old toys and also the new toys.
You gotta get all the toys.
They gotta save as much budget as they can.
TK, Ty, and Michael introduce themselves to the Digidestin. Michael and the Digidestin introduces herself as Catherine. She explains to them that she and Florimon found a control spire near the Seine and attempted to destroy it, but were ambushed by Giromon and taken captive in Versailles Palace. And then Giromon, along with the Mamemon brothers, fight Greymon and Angemon. And Greymon and Angemon digivolve into Metal Greymon and Magna Angemon.
Not before getting fucking wrecked first. Like, they're getting smashed with explosions
getting smacked around
and shit.
And blown up. Because there's a lot of blowing up. A lot of Digimon that are bombs.
Yeah, I mean, the entire Mamemon thing, they are bombs. They are bombs. Yeah.
Bomb boys.
They're walking bombs. Giromon is a bomb with a chainsaw for an arm.
Yeah, who does a little combat with Angemon in a fun way.
Yeah.
He's, like, swinging at him with the chainsaw, and he's using the staff to, like, deflect the chainsaw. Is pretty cool.
I like when the fights get actually a little martial artsy.
Yeah, me too.
Beat Break really leans into that, and I love it for that.
The two fights that we had with Shuriman and another ninja or samurai were cool for that.
Fucking Ninjamon.
Yeah, like when he fought Ninjamon, for example. That was awesome.
They had him and Hawkmon have their fucking like respectful rivalry shit going on just never gets commented on ever.
Yeah,
again.
It's fucking awesome. But Magna Angemon and Metal Greymon do battle with the Giromon and the Mamemon brothers. The opposing Digimon are defeated and fall from the sky into the Seine. Magna Angemon destroys the control spire. Well done.
I did have a moment of like, I hope they land face up or they're drowning in there before they can.
They're
open
gonna
the
drown
gate.
Before we can get them. But the French Digidestin arrive shortly thereafter with the Digimon that were loose around France and with their day finally Christmas. With the day finally Christmas, it says. They greet Catherine, Ty, TK, and Michael, and they say, Joyeux Noël, or Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. And
Ty
and
TK
Michael
steal
gets a chance
kiss.
To be a fucking creep one more time.
Ty and TK steal a kiss on her cheeks, but Michael demonstrates the proper way to kiss a girl by kneeling down and kissing her hand like a proper gentleman, says the
gross
synopsis.
Gross.
I hate you, Timmy. Why did you write that? It should be like a creep. He grabs the girl's hand and kisses it.
throw Michael off the train.
Gotta do it.
What was it? Was that Danny DeVito?
Yeah, throw him off from the train.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Meanwhile, back in Japan, Noriko Kawada is with her two unnamed friends as they are concerned with her health and tell her to go home. They bid Noriko goodbye and walk off. As Noriko is about to follow their advice, she sees Aru Candyman and follows her into an alley.
Yep. So we see that they're not done fucking with kids the way that they fucked with
Ichijoji
with
up,
Ken. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
End of synopsis. Plans. They got plans for this rap game.
A lot happens in this episode, considering it felt like nothing.
It was really breezy in the retelling. So what do you rate it? How do you feel about it? Summarize it for me.
They really got their money's worth out of the Digivolution sequences. There's a pedophile who's, I guess, just meant to be a joke, and you just kind of breeze over the... Yeah, it's gross, and I don't like it. It's not a fun. Probably Champion.
Yeah,
like it's serviceable as an episode, and we get a little peek into actual stakes at the end of it. But it sure does feel like we're back to the thing where we're just knocking down dark spires while shit happens.
But it's in the real world this time.
And it's in the real world this time. We get to have really bad accents and funny English.
But they didn't do as much with the international Digidestin as they had in the previous episode where we met
them. Also, like, love the thing of, like, apparently most people speak Japanese as a second language.
Why the fuck not? Let's make it easy.
Yeah, I mean, it is a necessity of the, like, budget they have for voice actors, right?
Well, and I think they tried that with the fucking, with the brothers. Whose name I can't remember, the Hong Kong Digidestin.
Oh, yes.
They tried to have, like, language confusion with them, and it didn't really pay off or work that well.
It doesn't pay off at all. And also, like, Japan has been weird about China for a long time anyway, so they were kind of stilted about it anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Tough stuff.
Can't expect too much for them reaching out of their comfort zone, but, like, damn. The formula is really peeking through on this one.
Yeah. I think I'm going with Champion as well. I would have liked to have seen the Digidestin do more. I would like to see the international Digidestin differentiate themselves more. We got to, like, see more of the rest of the cast from those countries, even if they didn't get to get lines or anything. Like, we saw more of the New York Digidestin. We saw more of the... Where the fuck else did we go?
It has real... The fact that they, like don't characterize basically any of them, it has real Homestuck, your fan troll is canon energy.
Yeah.
If you're not familiar with this, Audrey, Andrew Hussey said on Tumblr, whatever fan troll you've invented is canon. They exist in the universe, okay? You can do whatever you want with that. And then 2 days later, releases an update in which the entire troll species is, like, genocided out of ever having existed in that universe.
So Andrew Hussey goes, okay, I'm opening the floodgates here. And then fans were super normal, and then he had to kill off the entire race.
Oh, the he had that planned.
Oh, okay.
like it was a 1-2 punch that he set up. Funny shit. Also, Andrew Hussey, fucking cool person, goes any fucking pronoun, so I should be just switching them up, like, at random.
Yeah.
Yeah. Andrew Hussey. They rule.
Rock and roll. Man. Oof. Where's the button?
Le oof, since we were in France.
Oh, I took the fucking button off.
That's yoinkers, mate.
God damn it. It's in the RFTB recording.
No.
Folder.
No, what do you mean you don't have the button anymore?
I have it. It's right here.
She has the button.
I have to update it.
It's art, bitch! It's fucking art!
Yay. So we had several new Digimon. Most of them.
Yes, we did.
Mamemon variant. And funny enough, the only stuff I could find that we haven't already done, like the big titty little ball Pokemon, was
Crazy.
It's all metal Mamemon, so here we fucking go. You can go ahead and crack open that first one.
Opening the first one. Okay! Lilymon is looking back at the camera and spreading her pussy open while a metal Mamemon flies towards her her spread cheeks
like
at great speed.
Butt hovers.
And I think my favorite detail of this, he's got his little feet kicking back to like show speed, right? Like he's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
And he's like gathering up her wings with his one hand. And his balls are like between his heels because he's like a little ball guy. He's got like short little stumpy legs.
And he's got like the kind of ball sack you get in the cold. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where
the
ridge is really, really visible.
Yeah. Visible ball the ridge. The cleft. Visible ball seam. Which ball seam? It's one of my favorite characters from Street Fighter.
Yay, stretchy.
He's got the little missile launcher on his left shoulder, and he is plowing the fuck out of a very enthusiastic Lilymon.
She's having a great time with it, right in her butthole.
Right in her butt. I like the art style on this. I think the shading and the color is very cute. And she's just so stoked to be there.
She's having a grand old time. Just looking back at him. Fucking drooling a little bit, you can see.
Yeah, yeah.
She is so lost in the sauce. I'm having a blast. Fucking love that Metal Mamemon is so small that he could just kind of like hold on to her arms behind her back and use that. Yeah. That's all the leverage he needs to just fucking slam in there. Cause he's a orb.
He's a little orbman.
Anyway, that one brings me great delight. That one tickles me.
That's extremely cute.
The next one you can crack open and I'll give us. I'm also very excited about.
Okay.
Because this is someone's OC.
Who is a metal Mamemon?
Who is a human proportioned metal Mamemon.
Proportioned ish.
Named Earthsteel with an apostrophe. as done by someone named Mythic, I think is what that means there in the middle.
Okay.
Either which way, this is so she's front facing, she's got a big belly, big thighs, and enormous tatas.
Yes.
While having relatively thin, like doll jointed arms.
Yeah.
With the proper claws on them, with the missile launcher on her back, and like a sling bikini?
Yeah.
Call that?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because it's like to either, there's a cleft all the way down until it reaches her belly button.
Yeah, it's like, it's a two piece, but specifically, or well, no.
Yeah,
it's one piece.
It's one piece.
It's like two Borat's ribbons going up. It's over like the thing that Borat wears.
Yeah, I think that's a slinkini. I'm not entirely sure.
Slinkini.
Either which Borat. Way, I just think it's fucking sick that someone's making Digimon OCs. I'm like, we could go on about like the this is clearly some relatively early art on this person's part.
Sure,
but I think this is cringe in a cool fucking way, and I'm so here for you, and hell yeah. Earthsteel rules.
It's fucking awesome. We love Earthsteel.
We love Earthsteel. We love that she got tummy.
I'm seeing this called a mankini.
A mankini. Okay, that's funny, considering those are the biggest tits I've ever seen.
But it's like, it's a different sort of proportion to it. It's shaped like a mankini, but it's different, like, form factor.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm gonna call it a sling bikini because that's just what makes sense to me.
This also looks like
a slingshot pulled back.
A leopard print elephant bikini that like you put your dick in the trunk.
That's horrifying.
For some reason it's leopard print.
That's
didn't make a whole lot of sense to
me. I don't like the elephant. It gives like horny taxidermy.
It's fucked up.
don't put your dick in a dead thing's face. That's weird.
Don't. That seems really bad to do.
As like a fashion statement. Jesus Christ.
Did you find an Amalekaramon porn?
Sort of. Unfortunately, there's stuff in there we can't have. So
we don't like that. We don't like that. What we do, but I got like,
two. I got two metal mommy moments.
Our digital champion. That's the thing we like.
Oh, it's rough because there's people I fucking hate in this episode and not a lot of people that stand out doing cool stuff. I'm gonna give it to Agumon for trying to keep things light. He is constantly working on his tight five this episode. And we're not even listening to the English dub. The boy is just that silly in Japanese.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, maybe they're having a Christmas party. It's a Christmas after party. And Michael is just like, how fucking dare you? No one has ever partied in the palace ever. You take that back, you piece of shit.
And he's like, I don't know.
Everyone's like, I'm listen, Ty's I'm like, just, he was joking. It was a joke.
He was kidding. Hey, man. Hey. That should have been our first clue that he was a little weird.
Yeah, he was a little weird. That he's just like French, like a French ultra nationalist. It's really weird considering he's like Japanese.
Yeah, and then like French ultranationalism, there's a lot of fucking French Nazis. So
yeah, turns out, fuck like that. Well, it makes sense. Like Nazism and pedophilia kind of go hand in hand.
So. Yeah, best friends actually. Yeah, and libertarianism.
Yeah, funny that.
Hey, guess what? My digital champion is Michael's long suffering wife,
Michael,
who got a little. Who got a little sloshy at the Christmas party and had to lay down. And I relate to that so hard.
It's so funny. He's like, oh, yeah, she drank too much wine and passed out. And Ty's like, wow, you're so nice. You just let her sleep, even though there's like an emergency. You're going to take care of it. And he's like, yeah, nice. We'll call it that.
Yeah, fair enough.
Kind of Rodney Dangerfield kind of energy. I hate my bitch wife. My stinky French wife.
She smells like camembert.
I mean, if he's a pedophile, then yeah, he's probably bored of the person his own goddamn age.
Jesus.
Yeah, we don't like Michael. We don't fucking.
She smells like camembert.
We don't like Michelle on this one. It's he sucks. Bad character.
She smells like raclette.
I'm really hoping he's a one off.
Yeah,
I'm like, TK, hey, your family seems cool. Never mind, your family sucks, actually.
Do you think, is that their paternal grandfather?
Oh,
is that their reporter dad's dad? Kind of looks like him.
It would make sense. In the sense that they looked similar. But
I think that's their dad's dad.
I think, oh man, I hope their mom's dad is better.
I hope their mom's dad, I mean, their mom's dad, if oh, they anything
fucking
like their
TK
mom,
lives with his mom's side. Grandparents.
That's true.
Cause Matt lives with his dad, right?
Yeah.
We saw the grandparents we see them in the movie. I don't think we've done the movie here yet.
No.
We were waiting for the end of O2.
We should do sometime soon.
Yeah. I mean when O2 ends, we'll have everything we need behind us.
Sick. And then that'll be a fun little teaser before we get to Tamers.
Yeah.
So cool. Another thing that's so cool is the plugs that we do.
The plugs! I have a little show called Post Ponies. It's another podcast where we're doing a retrospective of My Little Pony Friendship is Magic alongside the rise of American fascism. Now, being French, Michael doesn't count, but it's still relevant. It's me and three other trans gals going through the cartoon My Little Pony and French being just fucking unhinged grand old time. If you like the parts where Audrey and I snipe at each other a little bit, it's there's a lot more of that, except it's all in good fun. You can catch that anywhere you're listening to this pod, or you can catch us at smallgayhorse.com.
smallgayhorse.com.
I love smallgayhorse.com.
Strap in, I got a fuckload of plugs. Okay, first thing, I was on the Worst of All Possible Worlds Patreon talking about the Amazing Digital Circus. If that is a thing that is of relevance to you as a gay person who listens to this, you're a little queer probably with it if you're with this one. So maybe you want to check out that one at the Worst of All Possible Worlds Patreon. Patreon.com/twopwo. So check that out. I've got an appearance coming up on Self Worst. I went and talked about my mental state.
So if you want to hear me expand more on how bad things have been in my brain, you could go hear that anywhere you're hearing podcasts and Self-Worth Pod with Brad Pearson. Standard plugs apply for Radio Free Tote Bag, the heartfelt relationship advice program that I do with my co-host Donovan with Goofy Japes, and also streams Tuesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern for DJ Tunes. I've been doing a lot lately. I've been a little busy.
Yeah, been all over the place.
Making it happen, doing the work.
And so you can't be mad at us that this is late.
That's right.
We're working very hard.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I had to get my prayer to 44. That's a lot of work.
Come on.
I needed my protection spells.
Who are we going to cast our protection spells on this week? Because we got a Patreon over at patreon.com/datatransfer, where you can get access to our Let's Play backlog. Hasn't been a lot of new stuff coming out lately, but that's okay. And you can support us financially because you love us. You love what we got going on. You want to help us out because we need it and we love you.
Yeah. So
you go to our Patreon, patreon.com/datatransfer. Two spots left, or no, three spots left for the Digidestined tier. You get a shout out at the end of each main feed episode, just like these people are about to get.
Sarah Frignon, Arukenimon, parentheses real, Kitty Sparks, Ember Saffron, Vile Pig Farmer, The Worst of All Possible Worlds, Asa/Anya, Saturday's Claire, Ruination Jones and the Desperado Blasters,
yeah.
Jubilation Lee, Pablo Hummus, Gromlinzine, Waylon the Sprite Smith, Maya, Teresa, Bubba Nitro, and Gigi Savage.
Yay, Gigi.
And viewers like you.
That's great. That's so good.
I've been on a PBS kick lately.
PBS is good.
PBS good, like, shit. Mr. Rogers low-key fucking hits.
Oh my god, I can't even imagine what watching Mr. Rogers in 2026 feels like.
Oh yeah, when your little space is shit stoned out of your gourd. No, it's I cry is what happens.
Yeah,
I cry
at the little puppets. Is you weep at the puppets, yeah.
I'm well, great at parties.
We have fun, don't we, folks? I hope you had fun listening to this one. We have fun making it, and we'll get at you again real soon.
Yeah, like thanks that? For listening.
We love you. Get out there and buy the products.